The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department of Dominican University of California. As a cancer survivor, let me offer you a little piece of advice. Don't get cancer. If you decide to be a rebel and get cancer anyway, you might be wondering what you can expect on your cancer journey. Well, in this series, I will be breaking down what is fact and what is fiction when it comes to the typical cancer experience. This is Cancer Culture. Back to Cancer Culture, everybody. Our second to last episode. Isn't that crazy? Remember this journey? Remember when we started out? We were young. We were naive. We didn't even know what cancer was. And now we know so much about it. Anyway, I noticed a really important part of the cancer journey that I have yet to talk about, and something that I've been desperately wanting to talk about, is the sort of different interpretations that people have of their medical professionals. In looking at a lot of this cancer media, Marissa Acocella-Marchetto and Brian Feese both sort of depict the doctors and the nurses they work with kind of having this sort of fake, cheesy grin. Marissa Acocella-Marchetto describes it as like a 1,000-watt smile. She doesn't depict them as being this way all the time. She really only depicts them as having this, quote, 1,000-watt grin whenever she has received bad news, in an apparent attempt to lessen how bad the news is. However, Brian Feese sort of depicts the medical professionals as always being this kind of fake sincere, the sort of fake happy. He depicts them as having this very kind of Joker-esque shallow grin. And I think that's just sort of an interesting comparison between Marissa Acocella-Marchetto's case, where for the most part they seem like normal people, but you know, it's only when you're getting the really bad news that they turn on that fakeness. And with Brian Feese, he just depicts them as being that way all the time. Now, Miriam Engelberg, I found, is very different in the way that she depicts her experiences with people of the medical profession. She has depicted them as being honestly very helpful to her, which I think is interesting, especially compared to Brian Feese's depiction of medical professionals, where he just kind of, I don't know, he just sees them as being very shallow. But yeah, Miriam Engelberg did find them genuinely helpful. And I also find The Fault in Our Stars to be very interesting in its depiction of medical professionals, just because John Green, when he was working with cancer patients, he was a chaplain. And then, of course, on working in the book, he did work with a lot of medical professionals to know how realistic some of this stuff is and when to ignore when it's less realistic and when to embrace what could be more realistic. And he sort of portrays them as generally helpful, generally very nice, and generally very caring. I'm not going to say in my experience that wasn't the case. I'm just going to say this episode's going to be very therapeutic for me. Very therapeutic. For the most part, a lot of the doctors I dealt with were very respectful, were very nice. Or, well, one of the doctors I've worked with closely, who is the breast surgeon, he's been very delightful to work with. like, in all honesty. And I think it is just because his daughter is about my age. He's seen a lot of women around my age who are his daughter's friends or who've gone to school with his daughter. I think I actually graduated with his daughter. So he was very good at keeping everything professional, everything very nice. My oncology nurse has also been very nice. She's been lovely to work with and a great source of information. However, I do have to deal with a plastic surgeon, just given the nature of this surgery. And plastic surgeons are really interesting people. That is what I will say. They're very interesting people because they, you know, they work like a normal surgeon, but they also have to deal very heavily in what something's going to look like. You know, your average surgeon isn't really going to care that much how something looks like. It's a plastic surgeon's job to take care of that later. My legs are a prime example of how little surgeons care about how things look. Because, I mean, things are going to get messed up. Long story short, if you cut something open and stitch it and have to stitch it back together, yeah, things are going to look messed up. But it is sort of uncomfortable to be dealing with somebody who's about the age of my dad, you know, touching my breasts, poking at my breasts, talking about the size of my breast and what size of my breast is going to look the best. You know, I know that it's purely from a professional standpoint, but Jesus crumb, dude. So I wanted to open this up by talking about the people who I deal with on a regular basis and say that they're all lovely people. They've all been very good to me and very nice to me. The plastic surgeon's a little creepy, but that's just because he's a plastic surgeon. He can't help who he is. Some of the other nurses, on the other hand, however, have not been similarly lovely and similarly wonderful. And you'll see why I describe this episode as therapeutic, because, oh boy, let me pour some tea. Glub, 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 sip. Ooh, it's piping hot tea. Let me go from like the least bad offense to the worst. And these kind of happen in chronological order too. So that was at least nice of them to build up to that. So, this is after my first mastectomy. Content warning, I'm going to be talking about getting sick in a stomach flu type way. So, anytime I am on anesthesia, I tend to get sick immediately after waking up. And this can be really violent. It can get really bad, or sometimes it's not as bad, but it's still extremely unpleasant to deal with, as extreme nausea is. So I come to and I feel as though I'm going to be sick. And there's a male nurse who has entered the room that I am recovering in. And I ask him, I feel like I'm about to be sick. Could you please get me a bucket? This man has the nerve to look me in the eye and say, well, I usually have that effect on women. I would have paid good money to have just gotten sick right then and there, to just thrown up all over him and myself, just... Because who in their right mind, right? Who in their right mind, when somebody is has just woken up from a surgery, thinks that that's the right time to test your stand-up material. Not the time, not the place, my dude. Offense number one. Offense number two, it isn't awful, but it was certainly unpleasant and awkward. So for the surgery, they gave me compression stockings just to make sure that I don't have a blood clot. Isn't that a lovely thought? Lovely. And while, so there was another offense that happened before this, which I will get into. Don't you worry. I will get into it. Right before this, that I still had like residual irritation about. So this isn't the worst, but it certainly was unpleasant to say the least. So I'm in a hospital gown, which is about the most exposed you can be in a public space. And they're trying to find the right stockings for me. And we end up going with a pair of thigh highs. And one of the younger male nurses is all, whoa, thigh highs, nice, thigh highs. And I'm sitting there just like, yep. Yeah, that is what I am wearing to make sure I don't get a blood clot in my leg. And that I don't die. Isn't that fun? Isn't that sexy? So here we go. This is the worst offense that I've had so far. And I have yet to experience anything this bad. Again, from a medical professional. So I am meeting with my anesthesiologist. He comes into the little pre-op area. It's not quite a room. It's just, you know, it's a bed that's sectioned off with curtains. And I don't know if this is something that does all the time or just because I can't, I said where I go. I wasn't supposed to do that. The hospital that I go to does all the time, or if it was just during COVID, but they had sort of an emotional support nurse there with me, who was female. Because typically in a pre-op situation, you can have two people there. But for me, that's like the size of my immediate family. So it's not anything that's really given me trouble before. I'm there with this emotional support nurse. She has been lovely to me this whole time. And the male anesthesiologist comes in. He's all like, ho, 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 hey, how's it going? Hey, ladies. And he starts talking to the female nurse. And he says, oh, so have you ladies been talking about secrets? And she's just sort of like, in a fed up sort of way, is like, oh, yeah. Yeah, we've been talking a lot about secrets. And he's like, yeah. Well, when I get her drunk, she'll tell me all of her secrets. And in regards to me, in reference to me, which is so, I don't think I need to say how inappropriate that is for the man whose job it is to drug me, to be all, why don't I get you drunk and you like spill everything. And mind you, this is pre-op. So I am in a hospital gown. Again, the most exposed you can be in a public setting. You don't even get underwear. You don't get anything. And this man is about to put me to sleep? Huh? Okay. Cool. I'm so glad. Anyway. You know, just another little peek into my personal life. I have had, I think, seven other surgeries. And most of them were when I was really young. And so like nobody made comments like that. Now that I am a legal adult, I guess this is just what happens. Like, right? But that's so strange. It's so strange, and it feels very uncomfy to me that I don't know. Like, these guys can just go around and say this stuff to people who are in an extremely vulnerable place. And, you know, I don't really know if there's anything I can do about it. You know, who would I report that to? I don't know if I report it to HR, because I don't work with them. But, you know, it is so bizarre that this is how people will just treat another person who is going through an arguably traumatic experience.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Cancer Culture. The intro music is Happy Hour by Ditto Master. You can find the full version of this song and more of his work on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify. This podcast has been created by the students of the Communication and Media Studies Department of the Dominican University of California and is intended for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. You can find this podcast and other students' work on radio.dominican.edu. Goodbye! Ops. I can't do it.